The Rebbe Maharash used to go on trips to do things, and mostly the Hasidim did not know what he does or where he goes, because Kenelach HaTzadik doesn't necessarily have to tell everybody where he's going or what he's doing. There's a big inyan to be Hatzne Leches. Go quietly, don't make a big deal, and let everybody know what you're doing, especially a tzaddik who's doing halakha things for Hashem. One of the Hasidim of the Rebbe Maharash wanted very much to go along with the Rebbe on a trip. He would like to have the schus, the mitzvah, to take care of the Rebbe, to do something for the Rebbe, to go along with the Rebbe, and especially to see what does the Rebbe do? What is he doing when he goes on one of his trips? And this Chassid, once in a while, would ask the Rebbe Maharash, Rebbe, please, let me go with you on a trip. I want to go with you on a trip, and I'll help you, I'll do whatever you want. And the Rebbe used to say, no, I think it would be too difficult for you. I don't think you'd be able to do it, because it's not an easy thing to go together with me on a trip. You might see things that you just will not understand, and I think it's better that you just stay home and I'll go on a trip by myself. No, Rebbe, please. Finally, one time it happened that the Rebbe allowed this chassid to go on a trip with him, and before the trip he said, in order for you to go on this trip, remember three things, three very important things that you must do. And only if you do these three important things will you be able to go on the trip, and the trip will be a good one for me and for you. But they will be very difficult for you to do. Oh, please, Rebbe, tell me what the three things are. The first thing is, on the trip, if I want tea, to drink tea, you must immediately give me a glass of tea. They used to drink tea from a glass. Now, Kinalach, the Chassid, said to the Rebbe, Rebbe, why should that be so difficult if you want tea that I should give you a glass of tea? And the Rebbe explained, you see this samovar, you know what a samovar is? A samovar is like a big thermos kind of a thing that you have hot tea that you have hot tea or hot coffee in, this big kind of a thing that you serve hot drinks from. It's called a samovar. And the Rebbe used to take the samovar with him on a trip. And in fact, he made it himself. He built it himself. Because as we know, the Rebbe Maharash was not very gesund. He had a lot of problems with his health. And one of the things the doctors said for him to do was to work with his hands and build things. And one of the things he built was a samovar, which was a very interesting kind of a samovar. It wasn't the regular kind. The regular kind, you know, it has a little faucet, and you turn it on, and out comes the tea, and then you turn it off, and the tea does not come out anymore. But the one that the Rebbe Maharash made was very complicated. You know what means complicated? You had to turn this thing, and you had to turn that thing, and there was a faucet here and a faucet there, and you had to dray this dial this way, and you had to dray this thing the other way. And only if you did it in the right way would the tea come out. And there were different pipes or different things on it. Shh. And if you would turn one of the things the wrong way, or you would change the order and not turn it in the proper way, the tea would not come out. And the chassid said, could you please show me exactly how it works so I'll know how it works when you want the tea? And the rabbi said, it's very complicated. It's very difficult. You have to pay very close attention. And he showed the chassid how it works. But the chassid was not really concentrating and not really paying enough attention. And he really didn't get exactly which thing to turn when and how to turn it and how far to turn it. He was kind of paying attention, but not paying attention at the same time. And he thought to himself, oh, yeah, yeah, I'll figure it out. And so, kinalach, that was the first thing. By the way, the Rebbe Maharash also built a beautiful chandelier with lights on it. And he also built a table, and he also built other things. Now, what is the second thing? The Rebbe Maharaj said, the second thing is that no matter what happens to me, no matter how I look to you, or what happens to me, you should not worry. But you should leave me alone. Even if I pass out, even if I fall over, even if I faint, even if you think that I look sick, even if you're worried that something terrible happened to me, just leave me alone and don't worry about me because I'm okay. Even if you get scared by what you see, just leave me alone. And don't try to help me. Just leave me alone. That's the second thing. And the third thing is, we will be traveling in a train. In the train, we will have like our own little room, our own compartment. And the door will be closed. No matter who comes to the room, and no matter what they do, don't let them in. Don't let anyone in for any reason, no matter what the emergency will seem to be. Do not open the door to our room. Okay? These are the three things, Kinalach. He needs the tea immediately from the samovar, and not to do anything, just leave the Rebbe alone no matter what happens. And the third thing is, no one is allowed into the room, no matter what. And so, kinalach, they start going now in the train. The chassid and the Rebbe Maharaj were sitting in their little room in the train, and the Rebbe Maharaj started to look out the window. Now, a regular person looks out the window, and they start going in the train, and they start seeing things outside, birdies and trees and fields and flowers. But the Rebbe Maharaj had a faraway look in his eyes. Not that he was looking at the birdies far away, but he was in a different world. He was now, the Rebbe Maharaj, you could see that as soon as the train started, he was thinking about something, but like he went into a different world. The look in his face, the look in his eyes. He wasn't just an Olam Hazeh in a train looking at birdies like other people looking out the window. He was thinking about halakha things that a tzaddik, a rebbe, could think about and see. And the chassid sat next to the rebbe. And he thinks to himself, look, only three things I have to do. But I get to go on the trip with the Rebbe Maharaj. It shouldn't be so hard. Only these three things. As they're going for a while, all of a sudden the Rebbe Maharaj suddenly starts saying, tea! Tea! I need tea right now. Now remember, what was the first thing? He has to give him tea from the samovar. And the chassid, all of a sudden, he goes to the samovar which was full of hot tea, and he takes a cup and he puts it by the spout where the tea comes out, and he turned a thing on the side over there, and he turned something else. Uh-oh, no tea is coming out. Oh, wait a minute, how does it go? Oh yeah, it goes this way. He drains this and he drains that. I told you on the samovar were different things because the Rebbe Maharash made it himself. And you have to turn it in exactly the right way, in the right order. And he turns this and he turns that. Oh, no, tea is coming out. And the Rebbe is saying, tea, tea. Now remember, when a regular person wants to eat a drink, it's one thing. Of course, they can wait. When a tzaddik kinalach, whatever a tzaddik does, even the eating, even the drinking, this is something for the neshama. This is something halik. It's something for ruchnius, not just gashmius. It's a way to serve Hashem, like karbanos in the base of Mikdash. So when the Rebbe Maharash wants tea, it's not just he's thirsty and he can't wait. And the chassid is all mixed up, and he's drained this and he's drained that, and he can't get one drop of tea out of the samovar. I can't get the tea out. The first thing I can't even do. I should have paid more attention when the Rebbe showed me how the thing works. Now the Rebbe wants tea and I can't give it to him. Finally, he had to give the Rebbe the samovar. And of course, the Rebbe knew how to work it. And he drained this and he drained that. And he pushed this and he pushed that. And the tea came out, but he had to do it himself. And the chassid felt very bad. I didn't do the first thing. And the chassid felt, oi, the first thing I didn't listen to, I didn't do like the Rebbe said. If only I would have paid attention. Because the Rebbe said, and he showed me exactly how to get the tea out. I should have watched more closely. First you turn this way. And then you turn this thing the other way. And then after that you go over here and you push this thing. And then you dray this thing around, either to the left or to the right. Of course, if you follow the directions exactly, the tea comes out. The only thing is, if you don't pay close attention, or if you start mixing in your own ideas, it just doesn't go. In other words, certain things, boys, certain things work a certain way, and if you do it different, it does not work out. Like the samovar. And if you pay attention and you're careful with each little detail, it'll work perfectly. Now, why am I explaining so much about the samovar? Because, of course, a Torah story is not just a story. Of course, this story happened exactly this way, but there's something to learn out from it. Because we know the life of a tzaddik is halik. Everything that happens is halik. A story that we have from a tzaddik is something that we can learn something out from for Avodas Hashem, from our own life. And from this story, later on, you're going to learn some very important things. So that's why I'm making a big deal and going very carefully over the details. Next, Kinalach, the Chassid says, I have two more things that I should do and that I must do. And he says to himself, no matter what happens to the Rebbe, even if I think he faints, or even if I think he's chas v'shalom sick, he said, don't worry about it, everything is okay, leave me alone. And the third thing, don't let anyone in the room, no matter what happens. Right? Right?
Right.
Right?
Right.
Would you do that if you were riding with the Rebbe Maharash in the train?
Right.
Okay. All of a sudden, now, as I told you, they were sitting in the little room in the train, and the Rebbe was looking out the window, but he wasn't just looking at trees and birdies. He was in a different world. He was in a world somewhere far beyond this world. But all of a sudden, the Rebbe started to slip down from the seat. And the Chassid is thinking to himself, why is all of a sudden the Rebbe slipping down from the seat? I mean, I'm sitting on the seat. It's not like the train, like, you know, was bumpy or something. Why is he slipping down? All of a sudden, it's like he fell down from the seat on the floor. And he's laying on the floor, and his face turns white. And he looks terrible. And he looks like, he looks so sick. He had a very, very not good look in his face. And even something started to come out of his mouth. Like, God forbid, a very sick person. Something comes out of their body through their mouth. It means they're terribly sick. And the chassid thought to himself, oi, look at the Rebbe. Something terrible is happening to the Rebbe. It looks like the end, oi. And he goes on the floor, Rebbe. He wants to wake up the Rebbe. It looks like the Rebbe, chassid shalom, is leaving the world. Rebbe, wake up. Rebbe, get up. What can I do for you? I have to help you. All of a sudden, the Rebbe, his face turned completely regular and the color came back, and he gets up and he says, didn't I ask you, no matter what happens to me, just to leave me alone? Oh, the chassid thinks to himself, I forgot about that. Oi, wait a minute. I disturbed the Rebbe when he said to leave him alone. I got carried away because I thought something terrible was happening to the Rebbe. But Rebbe, you look so terrible. The Rebbe said, didn't I tell you no matter what happens to me, just to leave me alone? And Ken Allah, the chassid now, did not do two out of the three things. Oh, I feel so bad. I was trying to do it, but I didn't listen carefully enough. And I should have just listened to the Rebbe and not listened to my own brain telling me that I should do something. I mean, after all, the Rebbe said, don't do anything. I should have listened to the Rebbe. Ken Allah, they're traveling in the train. And the Rebbe is looking out the window, far, far away, into some different world. Shh. All of a sudden, there's a little knock on the door. A little knock on the door. Somebody wants to come in. Uh-oh. Ooh, I remember. The Rebbe said, don't let anybody in. Oh, at least this much I could do. I won't let anybody in. Baruch Hashem, I'm doing what the Rebbe said. I'm not letting somebody in. All of a sudden, the knock gets a little bit stronger. Oh. Somebody really wants to get in. They're knocking like, you know, it's very important. But the Rebbe said, don't let anybody in the room. So I'm just going to sit here, and I will not let anyone in the room no matter what. And the knocking, no, I don't want you knocking. The knocking started to get very, very strong. Okay, I'll let you knock until I count to three. Go ahead, knock. Okay, one, two, three, stop. Has to stop. Finish. And the knocking did not stop. It got more and more until whoever was outside was pounding on the door, but the chassid said, I'm not letting the person in. But he was very curious. I wonder who's out there. Who could be out there that wants to get in to our room? And he got so curious. All of a sudden, he noticed there was a chain and a lock. As you know, sometimes there's a lock to the door that's a chain, and it goes across to the other way. And if you put that chain, if you lock the door with that chain, what you could do is lock it, but you could also open the door a little bit and peek through, but the door would be locked. Now the chassid decided like this. Since he's so curious who's out there, what he's going to do is he's going to open the door just a little bit. But in case there's any problem, all he has to do is also at the same time, or even before he opens the door, he'll lock it with that chain. It'll be locked, but you could open the door just a little bit while it's locked and look out. So he's going to peek outside because he's just so curious to see who is it that wants to come in. He just has to see who it is. So as the knocking is going on, maybe it's a spaceship and they want to hear the story, you know, they want to learn. Or maybe it's a helicopter or something like that. Or maybe there's something wrong with the system, it has to be fixed.
Or maybe it's a scientist out of the story.
And this is exactly what happened. The chassid went over to the door, he put the chain into the lock, and he opened the door a little tiny bit. He still couldn't see. Now, the chain was long enough that you could open it up a little bit more, so you could have, like, you know, an inch or two to be able to look. And all of a sudden, as the chassid opened up the door a little bit more, remember, the chain was still there, all of a sudden, a hand came in and right away schlepped off the chain, grabbed the chassid, threw him out of the room, and whoever it was that had that hand, because the chassid didn't even see, it happened so fast, as soon as he got thrown out of the room into the hallway of the train, that person, or whatever it was, went into the room and locked the door in such a way that the chassid couldn't get back in. And it happened so fast, and it happened so in such a strong way. And now the chassid is in the hallway of the train outside of the door, and he can get back in. And whoever it was that was banging on the outside got in, he got past him and locked him out, and now he's in the room together with the Rebbe Maharash. And the chassid started to cry, "Oh, the third thing I also didn't do. Whoever it was that I was supposed to keep out of the room got in. The Rebbe said, don't let anybody in. And I let him in. Hi." Kinalach. Who that was, or whatever that was, that got into the room, will never know. Because nobody knows. To this day, nobody knows who was in that room. All we do know was that after a while, the door opened. The Rebbe Maharash came out alone. Nobody else was in there. And the Rebbe Maharash gave the chassid a ticket back to go back to his home and not to go any more on the trip with the Rebbe Maharash. And the chassid went home. Now, Kinalach, we could end it like this, kind of a sad ending. But actually, let's learn something from this story, which is a very happy and good thing and a very important thing to learn for right now. Now, this is why I told this story, and this is what I want you to listen to. You remember that the Rebbe Maharash told the chassid exactly what he wanted him to do. And each time the chassid didn't do it. You know why? Because he starts mixing in his own cheshbonis, his own thoughts. What if he would have followed exactly how the Rebbe Maharash showed him how to work the samovar and to get the tea out? Let's say he would have done exactly like the Rebbe Maharash said. Would the tea come out or not? Yes, of course. What's the only reason the tea didn't come out? Because he did not follow exactly, and he started sort of mixing in his own way, or he didn't pay attention in the first place. Now, the second thing. What if he would have listened exactly to the Rebbe Maharash, who said, no matter what happens to me, even if I don't look good, just leave me alone, everything's okay. What if he would have listened to that? Would he have not done right, or he would have done right? He would have done right, that's all. And the third thing, the Rebbe Maharash said, don't let anyone in. Now he became curious, and he figured out a little kunst to be able to see. Now, what would have happened if he would have just followed the Rebbe Maharash and said, I'm not opening the door. That's all. I'm not even going to look. The Rebbe Marash said, don't let anybody in. Would he have done okay or not?
Okay.
He would have done okay on all three things. The only thing that messed up each time was he did not follow the instructions of the Rebbe Marash. Makinolach, right now we're in such a time that the Rebbe has said Mashiach is coming. The Rebbe said it's time for the Geula. And some people are very, very worried. All of a sudden, what's going to be? Where is Mashiach? Where is the Geula? Where are all the promises? Akinolach. The Rebbe gave us instructions what to do and what's going to be. Do we have to start mixing in our own cheshbonos and start thinking around and making all kinds of cheshbonos in our head? Or do we just continue going on doing exactly what the Rebbe told us to do? We know what the Rebbe told us to do. To learn about Mashiach and to have Avos Yisrael and to learn Torah and do mitzvahs and to daven and to do all the things that Chassidus and the Rebbe has said to do in the Sichos. The Rebbe said, if we do these things, Mashiach is going to come in our time. Now, is there any reason to think otherwise, Chas v'Shalom, or just to go on doing what the Rebbe said? Now, remember the Samovar? If they turn this way and that way, they follow the instructions, the tea will come. The only reason the tea would not come is if they don't follow the instructions. And I'm telling you right now, if we continue doing according to what the Rebbe has told us, which we know clearly what the Rebbe said, not just tea is going to come. Who is going to come? Not tea. Who's going to come?
Mashiach.
Mashiach is going to come, and the Geula will come, and all the good things will come. We just have to continue following the instructions of the Rebbe. And Kinolach, the Rebbe speaks not from himself, but the Rebbe is speaking from Hashem, just like Moshe Rabbeinu, the Shechina speaks through the Moshe Rabbeinu in the time. And don't worry, we just keep on doing what the Rebbe said, Mashiach will come. Now, the main thing about this story is what we learn from the story, which I'll explain afterwards. So don't just stop after the story and all of a sudden you think it's over, because there's something to learn, which is the main point of the story. And again, there are two kinds of stories. Is it really true, Rebbe? Now, all the stories I tell are true. But there are two kinds of stories. One kind, they really happened exactly like I say them. Like everything in Torah Shebiksav, in the written Torah, happened exactly the way the Torah says. Avram Avinu took Yitzchak to the Akedah, and he tied him up and put him on a Mizbeach. This happened exactly the way it says. Yaakov went to Haran and he worked for Lavan for all those years with the sheep. Happened exactly like it says. Moshe Rabbeinu went on Har Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. Happened exactly that way. But then there are certain kinds of stories in Midrashim and in Torah Shebaal Peh and the Gemara that it could be they did not happen exactly that way, but it's something to teach you a true thing. And it doesn't matter if it happened exactly that way or not. The main thing is what you learn from it. Now, the story that I'm going to tell you, I can't tell you necessarily that it actually happened that way. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't. The main thing is what we learn from it. Once there was an old man. This old man sat in the shul, and he learned Torah. He learned Torah in the daytime, and he learned Torah in the nighttime. He learned Torah in the morning, and he learned Torah in the afternoon. And he learned Torah. He was the first one in shul learning Torah, and the last one to leave shul at night. You know how many hours a day he learned Torah? 20 hours a day. 20 hours a day. Now, it could be during that time It also included davening, but he was busy in Torah and davening for 20 hours a day. Now, how many hours are there in a whole day? Does anybody know? Once in a while, I like a kitty to say something in the mic. How many hours are there in a whole day?
24
hours in a day. If he was learning Torah for 20 hours a day, how many hours were left over for him to sleep, to take care of other things, to eat, to do things that he has to do for his body?
4 hours.
Now this is an old man. And every single day, he was so strong in learning Torah, 20 hours a day. Never less. Always 20.